I'm Megan Mannering.
And I'm Evelyn Schultz, and welcome to Hot Mic. We are so excited to have you here for our new podcast here at LEX 18. Megan and I are hosts. We are very excited to be here.
And we have arguably the best guest that we could possibly begin with. Kentucky Sports Broadcaster of the Year in 2024, Maggie Davis. Welcome to the pod.
Oh my gosh.
Well, golf clap.
Congratulations on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. First one.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the first episode,
yes.
When I was thinking, who are we going to interview? I thought it has to be Maggie. Who else would we have?
Stop.
The Queen of Kentucky, the Queen of UK, the Queen of BBN.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Be here with the Queens of LEX 18, though.
Oh,
come on.
Well,
thank you.
I'm ready to go.
I'm so excited. It's such a fun girl time here.
It is,
On
this
Hot Mic.
Is perfect because, like, the first 30 minutes of work, we always just gab anyway.
Yes.
So at least now we're being productive about it.
We're getting paid for it.
I don't know how the bosses feel about that, but that
Sorry,
is what's
guys.
Happening.
Yeah, we just love to chat. That's why we're all in news, and
yes.
We like to talk about news and sports. And one thing that everyone has been talking about, and I know that Maggie was absolutely thrilled with yesterday, We have to talk about it. By the time you hear this podcast, it'll have been about a week since the news came out. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement.
Travis Kelce finally put a ring on it. Let's go.
Let's go.
So excited.
What was your reaction yesterday when you saw that? Do you have alerts set up for Taylor Swift first off?
I do. And I also have them set up for Travis Kelce. So I actually got the Taylor Swift one first, but you know, any big fans out there know, she's been releasing variants of her vinyl. The upcoming album, The Life of a Showgirl, comes out October 3rd. Free promo for you, Taylor. I know she needs it.
There you go.
She needs the extra promo. But she's been releasing, like, all these extra vinyls and CDs and new pictures. So I kind of, like, just thought it would be that when I saw, like, Taylor Swift made a post, because she's been making a lot of posts with all these CD announcements. I click on it, and I'm speechless. Because it looks like something out of a music video or something out of a movie, which is all those flowers. It was so pretty. And then I read the caption, and then I screamed. No one in the sports office cared.
So you were at work when you saw it.
I was here. Yes, I was in the office. Yeah. I was in our sports office. Not one single person cared. I called the big Swiftie in the office. Shout out to Michaela Mullins. She didn't answer. She was in a meeting.
Okay.
We paged her over the loudspeakers here in the full building. Again, didn't hear it because she was in a meeting. So then I just didn't know what to do. I was pacing. I was texting my mom. I was texting my husband. I wasn't getting the proper reaction from anybody. So I should have called you guys. But I finally got in touch with Michaela, and we had a proper scream, and everything was good.
Amazing. Did you expect the engagement, or were you thinking it would happen more down the line?
I thought maybe we were getting close. I thought her going on the podcast was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
This is a commitment.
It is.
Go on a podcast.
No,
I really love
absolutely
you
not.
Yeah. So I felt like it was coming soon, but I also didn't know if we would ever know about it. I thought maybe she would just show up to a football game with a big rock on the finger.
Do you think they were engaged during that podcast episode already? Because Michael Burke brought that up to me this morning. He said, some Swifties think they were already engaged when that episode came out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the ring wasn't on her finger at that point.
I've seen some Swifties say they were setting up the backyard while she was distracted doing the podcast.
Genius.
So then when the podcast was over, boom, here we go. So if that's what you guys are doing to me right now, let me
There is
Taylor Swift Austin.
Crazy engagement that's going to happen when you walk out the door. It's going to be crazy.
I don't know. I don't know that I need every detail. They can keep some stuff private, but
that would be the
they shared it with us.
That would be the hard part about being a super celebrity like that is having almost every aspect of your life be
every aspect.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
That's
out
why
there.
They, again, not to make this deeper than it is, but that's why I'm glad they got to share it themselves and it wasn't some paparazzi thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't some
that saw the ring or
leaked picture or something from a helicopter. Like, they got to do it how they wanted to do it. They got to tell us and show us what they wanted us to see, which totally respect that. I'm happy about that.
Do you think this will have any impact on the season?
On the Chiefs season?
Yeah.
Listen, so I mentioned I was freaking out in the sports office. The only thing they cared about was how it was going to affect their fantasy teams. I'm like,
oh my
gosh. I don't care how Travis Kelce does on your fantasy team. I don't. He's not on my fantasy
team.
So it doesn't matter to me. I don't know. He's going to have a lot going on this season, but I think it's going to motivate him.
He found true love.
It's his 13th season. Mm-hmm. We know that's a lucky number for Taylor Swift.
That's crazy.
She has all the lore.
Really, truly.
Sometimes I know this much about sports I cover, too.
It's amazing. Well, congratulations to Swifties everywhere. This is big. This is huge. And we do have to ask you your opinion on a hot take, Evie.
Okay. We want to give everyone who comes on our podcast a hot take. And actually, let me pull it up because I want to make sure that I read it correctly. So let me get it off my phone. Mm-hmm. And you either agree or disagree with this hot take.
I'm excited.
We might have had a little help with AI.
Have you guys given your opinions on if... on this hot take or no?
No, we have not yet.
Okay.
We can, though, after we ask you first. Can. But yeah. The guest goes first. Okay. Okay, this is the hot take. The Kelce Swift romance has done more for football than the Super Bowl halftime show ever has.
Ooh.
Do you agree or disagree with that hot take?
God. Okay, I'm from an era where I feel like the last, like, 10, 15 years of the halftime shows have been big. There have been some big, memorable moments, but there have also been, in my opinion, some duds that we don't care about.
Sure.
I think some of the really iconic shows that people talk about happened so long ago that I think if you're talking about this generation of football fans, this generation of people tuning into an NFL game, I'm going Kelce Swift.
That's a hot take.
That is a hot take. No, I like it, though.
I do. I like that reasoning because, yeah, we're 90s babies, so a lot of the big shows we weren't even around for. Yep. I kind of agree. There was so much chatter this last season over this romance, and a lot of people who had no business watching football, no interest, all of a sudden are invested. I think I agree with that hot take.
Well, and you, as a woman in sports, what do you think about Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, do you think they're getting young women into football who might not have previously been into the NFL, but they are Taylor Swift fans, and now all of a sudden they're watching games because she's there?
No doubt about it. And I love that because I truly think there is something in football for everybody. Even if it's not something you want to live and die by every single possession, you want to mark off your whole Saturday or your whole Sunday, there is a part of football that anybody can find enjoyment in, whether it is literally watching for the 4 seconds Taylor Swift is on TV or the big plays at the end, maybe the hot dog at halftime. There is a part of the experience that is meant for everybody. I truly believe that. And so I think to just bring in a new audience that maybe comes for a little Taylor Swift, a little Travis Kelce, but then stays and finds out, like, man, some of these other guys have really cool stories too, right? Like, I find other people I want to root for, or I think that coach is really interesting, or, man, they've won 2 Super Bowls in a row. It would be really historic if they could win 3. Like, how's that going to play out? So I think once people find a reason to get invested, and this is true for anything, but especially in this specific situation, you find a reason to get invested, but then you get there and you find out there's a lot of reasons why you should stay. And I think that's an important part of getting more women involved in sports in particular.
I love that. And that's the perfect segue because we want to know how you became interested in sports. Where does your story begin, Maggie?
Oh my gosh, good question. I love that. For me, I grew up playing sports, not necessarily the sports I covered the most. I didn't play football. I didn't play basketball. But I did grow up swimming competitively and playing tennis for fun and a lot of other stuff. I was one of those kids who tried everything for a season. But those were really, swimming was my main thing that I ended up doing for the longest period of time, the most seriously. And then tennis was fun in the summer and a little high school tennis too. So those were kind of the sports I was personally playing. But I was growing up for the most part here in Lexington. So I grew up watching Kentucky games. I lived in Ohio until I was in elementary school, and I remember my first memory of coming to Lexington. My parents knew we were moving. They hadn't told me yet. I was a very sentimental little second grader who liked her friends, and I liked my school. I didn't want to move. And so my mom brings me to Lexington for a UK basketball game. She got great tickets, and we got to go. I don't even remember anything about the game. I was like 7 years old. But I remember how much fun it was. We stayed in the hotel with that pedway that you'd walk across. I painted my nails UK blue. I did the whole thing, wore the cute outfit. I had so much fun. And I just fell in love with basketball there, and specifically Kentucky basketball, Rupp Arena, the whole game day experience. And after that game, she was very smart. She waited to tell me, hey, we're going to move here. We can do this more often. We're going to move here.
Now that we've hooked you.
Yeah, and all of that softened the blow a little bit for a girl who was going to have to make a move and leave some of her friends behind. So I was very young, but it was a very formative experience to me for remembering, like, man, I loved that experience. I'm happy to move here now and get involved in this. So I grew up going to basketball games really with my mom. My dad's a Louisville fan. We don't say that.
Okay. Whoa. Yeah. Well, I did not know that. Fan, so.
House divided. You know how that goes. So my dad's a U of L fan. My mom's a diehard Kentucky fan. So there was never any doubt I was going with mom to the Kentucky stuff. We're in the blue. My sister's the same way. So I grew up going to all the UK games, football games, basketball games, volleyball games, everything. Went to college, and I knew that I loved writing. I didn't really know that I loved TV. I didn't really know how to combine sports, writing, et cetera, into a career. I don't know if you guys felt this way at all, too, but I just felt like it was something I liked but couldn't really make a career out of. And so for me, it was like, well, I think I'm going to be a doctor.
I can see you being a doctor as well. Yeah,
I think it's for the best that I wasn't. Mark Pope always tells this great story because, you know, he was pre-med and actually went to med school for all but his final year before he switched into coaching. And people ask him, like, if you'd been a doctor, what kind of doctor would you be? And he always goes, a bad one. And I'm going to start stealing that because I do think I would have been a bad doctor. But I had shadowed in my high school. I went to Dunbar here in town, did like a half-day program. And so I did half days at the hospital my senior year with the anesthesiology department, and I loved it. Dr. Farrell, shout out. He made me want to be an anesthesiologist. So I really thought I did my whole freshman year with that in mind, but I did take Journalism 101 just kind of for fun. And then I randomly applied for an internship with Kentucky Sports Radio, again, just kind of for fun, as a biology major, and I just fell in love with it. So I started covering games, getting a taste, seeing more examples of people, men and women, really, but especially some of the women at KSR, showing me that this could be a job, that you can love sports and love writing and love podcasting and everything else, and you can make a career and a profession out of it. It doesn't just have to be something you watch on TV for fun. So really seeing their blueprint helped me make the switch ultimately. Got rid of the biology stuff. No more chem classes for me. Switched to journalism full time and ended up here.
What was the point where it clicked for you that this is what I was going to be doing?
Yeah, that's I would say it was my freshman year because at this point I was still a bio major, but I was taking that one journalism class, and I lived in the dorms on campus. I was interning for KSR. They had a need for people to cover the women's basketball games. This was maybe the second or maybe the final year of the Matthew Mitchell era. So they were trying to find some more people to come cover the games. Parking down there, you guys know what campus is like. Everybody knows what campus is like. It's crazy. Nobody wants to park down there. I could walk from my dorm.
Perfect.
So I'm out here raising my hand. You know, I'm like this unpaid intern. I was at the time only supposed to, I was only writing on Sundays. The interns would get like four articles we could post on the weekend, and that's what I would do. But I could walk to the women's basketball press conferences, so it would be no problem at all. Don't worry about parking. Let me go. I'll cover it for you. So that's kind of how that started, and I ended up covering the whole women's basketball season my freshman year, and just watching Jennifer Smith, not our boss Jennifer Smith, there's another Jen Smith in town. She used to write for the Herald Leader. Now she's a professor at UK, and she's amazing. And she was the beat writer for the Herald at that time, covering the women's basketball program. And watching her, a lot of the TV people, some of the other print writers, really go to press conferences and see how all that was working, how they covered games, what a post-game was like, what a pre-game was like. That's when I got the bug. And that's when I was like, okay, this, again, is realistic. Mm-hmm. This is something that is not just, oh, some people get lucky and get to do this. Some people can also make this their major. They can get internships. They can get into it. They can get involved, and they can turn this into a career. So that's when I started seeing those really firsthand examples and was like, okay, this is what I want to do. So I did women's basketball that first year.
Cool.
And then the second year I did football. And then my third year I got to start doing basketball, men's basketball.
It's so cool. I love hearing an origin story because I didn't know any of that. I would have assumed that you always wanted to be a sports broadcaster because you're so talented and it seems so natural to you. It's funny to learn that you were on a completely different path, that it wasn't until a little ways into college that you got into it. Yeah. I'm curious because I also, like, I grew up in a football household. My dad was a coach. My brothers are football coaches. You are in a male-dominated industry, and in this moment, covering a male-dominated sport. What's that like for you? Does that faze you when you are the only woman in the room?
Yeah, it definitely did early on, especially like we were talking about my college career. I mean, I was 19 years old, so that was much more intimidating for me when I was 19. I'm 27 now. So it was much more sort of intimidating as a teenager, as a college student with no experience, and I felt like I deserved to be there because I was credentialed. I had this internship, but I didn't really feel like I deserved to be there. And honestly, I didn't. It's not like this imposter syndrome type thing. Like, I was a biology major. Like, I didn't have any right to be there, but they kept letting me show up. And I think eventually I kind of figured out, okay, the more prepared you are, the less nervous you're going to be. And I know this has to be true in news, too, whether you're anchoring a show. I think about it a lot with Derby, right? Like, it's so easy to get nervous on a big day like that. Mm-hmm. But the more prepared you are, the less nervous you are. And so for me, I think that was another thing that clicked during that first real formative sports coverage experience with the women's basketball team was like, okay, yeah, I could just roll up and listen to his answers to everybody else's questions, but when am I going to be an active member of this? When am I going to ask a question? And it took me weeks into the season to ask a question. I mean, I'm not pretending like it didn't. I was very nervous. But it was a good introduction because everyone around that program was very nice. It was not necessarily this big theatrical thing. If you ask a question at a men's basketball post-game press conference, you raise your hand, you get called on, you get a microphone, you project to this room of 100 people. You know, plus the thousands watching online. Women's basketball was much more, a little cozier. So there's, you know, maybe 15, 20 people in the room at that point. There's more now, which is great. But it's much more just like, coach, I have a question, ask a question, kind of jump in. And I always say, people always ask me about, you know, the disadvantages of being a woman in sports. And I'm absolutely, there are some. And I've been really lucky to have a great experience and have some really great mentors, men and women. But I will say one of the advantages is in those situations where you're trying to get your question asked, my voice is a lot higher than a lot of other people. And I do think it's easier to hear me ask a question sometimes. And I think it's easier for people to remember me sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I met her. Like, all these guys look the same. All their voices sound the same. Uh-huh. So I do think that I've been able to use that as an advantage, especially being so lucky to cover the same programs for so long, mm-hmm. to be around Kentucky Athletics specifically. It's been really helpful in terms of just building relationships that I've gained trust, but I've also been the voice that they've heard a lot that sounds a little different.
You need Keith Farmer to start doing that. Hey, yeah. Guys, I'm over here. Keith Farmer here.
I tell Keith sometimes, I'm like, you got to go up an octave, man. They're not going to hear you way down here. You got to go up.
That's good career advice.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, and one thing, okay, we were in Indianapolis together for Sweet 16.
It was so fun.
It was really fun.
Until the game.
Yeah, leading up to that was very fun. Yes. I will say I was there more for the news aspect. I don't know much about sports, so we obviously leave that to the experts here. How do you all prepare for something like that? For even just, you know, a football game, a women's basketball game, and then you get to the Sweet 16, obviously that's a big deal. How do you prepare and know everyone's names, all of their statistics? Yes. That boggles my mind. But what goes into that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the Sweet 16 is such a nice example because – for me, that's the easiest game we've covered all year because at that point, I've covered 32
Kentucky basketball games. So you know everyone.
There's no question what I'm going to talk about with Kentucky.
Yeah.
The other side is like, okay, what do I need to know about the opponent? Well, it was Tennessee. They played Tennessee twice in the regular season. I covered the game at Rupp. I went to Knoxville. I covered the game down there. So again, that was a team I was very familiar with. I watch a lot of basketball. I mean, it's and football too, no matter what sport it is. I watch a lot of volleyball. Mm-hmm. It's not so much of like, okay, I have to study because this game is coming up. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But I'm watching games all the time all season because you never know who Kentucky might play later. Or especially like in the SEC, like I want to watch some SEC teams play other SEC teams. And then I'm like studying two teams at the same time. They might be on Kentucky's schedule down the road. So it's a lot of watching, which to me, like, is fine. We get to watch games.
That's I'm not fun for you, right?
I have to watch a bunch of games. And then you also have to give a shout-out to the sports information directors because they send out these amazing packets. They're called game notes. Like, football sends them out the Monday of a game week. Basketball normally sends them out, like, a day or two before tip-off. And it's a really good deep dive into some of the things you'd have to really study to know. Like, is anyone approaching a big statistical mark? Is someone within reach of scoring their 1,000th point? You know, that happened a little bit last year. I think it was maybe Jackson Robinson had scored like 985 points or something like that. So you're kind of like on watch of like, well, if this happens, if he scores this many, that's something I can talk about post-game. But I wouldn't have necessarily known exactly how many points he had scored in his entire career at different schools unless they had put that in the game notes. So I read a lot of the game notes, so thanks to the SIDs for those.
Yeah.
You'll make it look easy.
I did not know that. That's so interesting because whenever you're – and the way, like, you get into your spiel and it just comes off so effortlessly, I'm like, how did they know all that? Yes. Where does the information come from?
There's some part of your brain that is storing all of that.
I watch a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. I like listening to podcasts by the other team, like – I haven't really found a lot of Toledo podcasts, but like I'll find some Ole Miss podcasts before week two. I just like hearing what the other side's saying because we're just here. I know what all the Kentucky people are saying. Like that's normal. I hear that we're around that. But I like hearing from the other side too. So I'll try to find those a little bit.
Yeah. We have heard from some Kentucky fans and we're approaching the first game of the season. Yes. There are definitely some nerves. Mm-hmm. And I think people are maybe a little apprehensive of what this season is going to look like. So give us a little preview from your vantage point. You've been following the team. You know the stats, the players. What can we expect out of this team this season?
I think the reason people have been so apprehensive, and I don't blame anybody for feeling this way, is obviously the issues with last season. Winning four games is so far below the mark that we've come to expect from Kentucky football, that there's a level of disappointment there that you can't deny. And then the fact that there's 50 new players on this roster. I mean, football is a very, I like to think of it as an anonymous sport anyway. I mean, there's 100 guys on the roster. On game days, they're wearing helmets. If you don't know them, if you don't want to follow them, if you don't go out of your way to hear these guys give interviews or read what they're saying in a press conference or whatever, you might never know what they look like. You might never know what their voice sounds like. You know, basketball, it's such a smaller group. Only five are playing at a time. You see their face. You watch their body language. Football, it's so different than that. So I actually think it's harder in general for fans to connect with their favorite football team than it is for most other sports. And then with this team in particular, there's 50 guys that you know nothing about because they're brand new. So that's been a really fun challenge for us on BBN Tonight, too. It's just like, how do we go about introducing people to 50 people. Like, I love doing series of Meet the Cats or Get to Know This New Guy or This New Guy position previews. But it was a little overwhelming of, like, it's not like we're introducing them to 8 new people. There's 50 new guys. And obviously the quarterback competition and camp was a big storyline. And Zach Calzada is winning that job, at least for week one and for the foreseeable future. So I had the chance to sit down with him. And I think getting to actually, like, sit down with him one-on-one, kind of like this, and just talk and, like, see his face, read his body language. And for fans who got to watch that interview, it's on our website, shameless plug, bbntonight.com.
Shout out BBN Tonight.
Shout out BBN Tonight. I think it gives people a better idea of what this team's mentality is. And Stoop said it best, I think, before that first game when he's like, listen, we've talked and talked and talked, but to change a narrative, you have to play and you have to win. And the only way we can change a narrative is by showing people what we've been working on a game day. And so for me, that's at this point, talking season is finally over. I love talking season because we all have to talk. But I love when the games start because at some point you can only talk so much about things you don't know. You haven't seen. You don't know these guys. You haven't seen them play. We don't get to go to practice. And so we take them at their word for the most part. But it's exciting to get the chance to actually see them play. And I think that will give us a better sense of where things are, even though I don't think we're going to see all the cards laid out week one. Stoops likes to keep things close, especially with a team like Ole Miss coming week two.
Okay. Are there any players or storylines that are standing out ahead of the season to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Gosh, I mean, quarterback's the big one. Wide receiver's interesting because the last three seasons, Dane Key and Berrion Brown were wide receiver one, wide receiver two, no question about it. And you knew exactly what you were going to get from them, but production kind of suffered in their junior year. They both transferred. They're at LSU and Nebraska now. Now you bring in all these new guys. Really, the only one who's back that fans know anything about is Jamari Macklin. They put out the depth chart. You guys know about depth charts?
We've got some depth.
You got some depth? Okay.
Is that how far back?
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so think about this. Piece of paper.
This is good.
This is behind the scenes. I'm going to paint a picture. They post every position, and then it's a two deep. So there's the starters are on the first line, and then the backups are on the second line.
Okay.
For every position, offense and defense, depth chart. They release one every week with the game notes on Monday. So we get that. That's public information every Monday around noon. That comes out. It's a two deep. Guess how many wide receivers are on the two deep?
How many?
9. They put 9 wide receivers on.
That's a lot.
So we have no idea how the wide receivers are going to shake
out.
They put or. If you don't want to say this is 1, this is 2, they put the word or in the middle.
Oh, interesting.
So you don't know who's the starter, who's the backup at any of the starting wide receiver spots. So there are 9 wide receiver names on this week one depth chart. So I'm really excited to see that play out.
This is great.
This is great. And this kind of plays into what you were saying. Like, there's something for everyone in football or any sport. Totally. Maybe you don't know all the ins and outs of football, but knowing a lot of this, you know, we don't know the details yet. You're going to have to watch the game. There's competition that's going into it even before the game ever starts.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the defensive line is really fun, too, because they brought in 2 big transfers, big names. Maquise Humphrey-Grace and David Gusta are kind of the big names we're watching. But there are also multiple players back who sat out all last season with season-ending injuries. And that's, I mean, talk about something for everybody. Who doesn't like to root for somebody who's stuck around, done his rehab, gotten his knee fixed or his arm fixed, whatever was wrong, and then come back and try and show like, okay, I'm back, I'm healthy, I want to contribute, I want to win, and I want to do it here at Kentucky, the school that I had to sit out for last year, and now I'm back and I get to show what I can do this year. So I'm excited to watch some of those players have their moment back on the field too.
Definitely, especially with all the transferring, the guys who do stay here, you maybe feel a little more invested in watching.
Totally. The coaching staff has talked about that, too. They said back on Media Day, beginning of August, Bush Hamden, the offensive coordinator, said, like, I don't know. And we never hear them talk about individual guys. They don't like to talk about, especially this year. They've been very cognizant of, like, hyping up teams or the full group. They haven't really wanted to dive into specifics too much, probably because they knew they were going to put 9 wide receivers on the depth chart. So they didn't want to single out anybody. But he did single out one wide receiver way back on Media Day when Hamden said, like, I don't know if there's anybody on this team that we are personally rooting for more than Jamari Macklin. He's the wide receiver who did come back. He didn't, you know, he showed some good flashes last year, but he was behind those 2 guys who are gone now. He had a lot of options in the portal. I think he even considered leaving at some point, but ultimately decided to come back to Lexington and get it done here. And I think he's going to be a featured wide receiver in this system. And again, I mean, to hear Hamden say he's the guy they're rooting for is interesting to me, too.
Okay. A lot of good stuff to be watching this weekend. I'm getting more excited listening to all of this. Okay. I have kind of like a girly question. Yes. But
I had one too. I want to know your question first.
Okay. My question is, you always look so cute on game day and you have all the BBN blue garb.
Oh, yes.
Like, how much thought goes into what you're going to wear on game day?
Not enough.
Really?
I don't buy that.
No,
it
not
just
enough.
Comes naturally.
You always look so nice.
Well, I appreciate it. I feel like every time I see you two in the green room or running in and out of the studio, I'm like, that's cute. Where's that?
We all just need to borrow and share.
We really do. Circulate. Do you guys ever do like the rental things? Do you ever rent?
Yes.
I'm thinking about doing
that. We actually have shared rentals.
We talk about
too.
It a lot. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So I've never done it.
Yes.
So I'm a little indecisive.
You should try it.
But I think that would help me, but I needed to be rentals for only UK blue clothes. Because I do wear it so much.
We can, off the podcast, we can give you
we'll
some
you up.
I need
good,
some recommendations.
Good tips and recommendations,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes. There's also a lot of local stores I like here in Lexington. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like we are blessed to live in a college town that has a lot of blue at our disposal. So I am able
they
to
know what people
them.
Want.
They know what we need to get
how done. Much
yeah.
blue is in what... Kind of going along your question. My question was, how much blue is in your closet?
Oh, so much, so much. Do you guys color code?
Yes.
I should.
See, I'm a little picky about that. I love a color coded closet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the blue section. It's like green, purple. What a pink. Pink's a little bigger, clearly. And it's like blue. And then it's like red zero, orange zero.
You don't want those colors.
I have one red dress I wear on 4th of July. And I have one I wear on like Valentine's Day every year. And other than that, I don't have any. I
no
never
use
wear
it
out on our show.
No, that was talking about what people can find fun in football.
Oh yeah,
I didn't grow up watching football. My dad played college football, but I never got into it. But I like the fashion mm-hmm. with sports. That is something that could get me there. Get me interested. Okay. So, yeah, I think...
Just got to get that foot in the door.
I got to work on my game day fits this year.
Yes,
I'm excited.
And for me, it totally depends, too, on, like, what my game day is going to look like. Mm-hmm. We're doing BBN Game Day live from Kroger Field a couple of times, so we're going to be doing a full show from out there. We're going to be running around in the parking lots.
Got to have a ton of shoes.
Yeah. Oh, always tennis shoes. Always tennis shoes. And a lot of times they're, like, pants or, like, shorts on, like, a game day versus a dress, just depending on what But if I'm just going to be up in the press box covering the game up there and then doing post-game, then maybe I'll rock a blue dress. But it depends on the day. And the weather.
Yeah.
Football season, man, it starts hot. It ends cold.
Well, not this time. I mean, it's like fall out there right now, but it'll probably revert back to like 95 degrees, you know, for those noon kickoffs early in the season.
Yeah. But I like that. That's the good thing about Kentucky, right? I like all four seasons.
Does Keith Farmer put this much effort into his outfits?
Yes.
What does he do?
Probably
Don't
more.
Don't let him lie to you. Keith loves talking about his outfits. He does do the rental thing. Not the rental thing, but he does the one where you like... I don't know if we can give free plugs on this show, but he does one where he like orders like a big bulk online.
Oh, and,
he gets
and they
it
ship
all,
it to him. Okay.
To him. He's big on the pocket square game. And he gets those fancy pocket squares that every corner is different. So he has one square,
fancy.
Eight different designs, front and back, four corners. So every day he'll be like this one, or he'll turn it, or this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bang for his buck.
That is.
Keith Farmer, he's efficient.
I love the inside scoop here.
Yes.
I never would have guessed that.
At LAX 18, I felt like I had to share a little tea.
What is the sports office like? Because you all seem like you're close.
Yeah, we're too close. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. For people who don't know, in our office, the sports office is glassed in. We like to call it the fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's why people come up and knock on our glass. I feel like I'm that fish in Finding Nemo, like getting, you know, knocked on the glass or whatever. But it's fine. And we're all in the same room. There's seven of us in the sports department, which is crazy. I don't know that any other true local sports department in the country has that. A lot, even in bigger cities. I mean, Nashville, Louisville are examples of like one, two people maybe. And here in Lexington, we're blessed with seven people. So we have a lot of fun just chit-chatting. And obviously, we all follow all things Kentucky. And then some of the people also cover high school or EKU and all the other schools, Transy. And then everyone kind of has their own like personal team too. Like we got a lot of Steelers fans in that room, so they talk a lot about that. Big NFL room too. So it's exciting. It's exciting to kind of all mesh.
I always hear you guys giggling in there, and I'm like, what are they laughing
about?
I want to be in there.
You can tell it's like when we get really serious, it gets very quiet, and then you can tell exactly the moment we all get our work done because then it gets really loud.
A lot of chatter.
Yes.
What year did you come to LEX 18? And tell us some of your favorite. Memories, moments, maybe some of your favorite sporting events that you've covered since you've been here.
Ooh, I love this. Okay, so I actually interned at LAX 18 in college. So I like to say I've been here like 15 years. I don't think that's really true, but I did start interning here my junior year of college. But I got hired here full-time September of 2020. That's when I started.
Or October. Yeah.
I think we started around the same time.
Yeah.
That fall, which was a crazy time. I had just graduated college in May. There were no sports jobs because there were no sports because of COVID was rampant at that point.
Tough time to enter the industry.
Yes. And just the workforce in general for anybody. And then I'm out here like, I'd like to cover football. And they're like, there's not even a football season, girl. What are you talking about? So I was so lucky that that was really the same time that LAX 18 became the official UK station. It had not been the case for the last, you know, several decades. And then it just so happened to work out that that summer that I was graduating, they became the UK station. So I was actually interviewing for a job. I was pretty deep into the interviewing for a job way out in Oklahoma. And I got a call from our former news director who said, hey, this is happening. I think it's going to mean more sports jobs. Can you give me 24 hours before you have to let Oklahoma know what's going on? And I was like, sure, I'll tell Oklahoma I need 24 more hours to figure this out. And then I ultimately got the call. And I started here as a producer. So I worked behind the scenes on BBN Tonight for my first year, just producing, learning the ropes. They'd let me do a few on-camera things, but it was mostly just kind of like for fun or for practice. And then I started reporting soon after that, and eventually started filling in on the anchor side. And now I do like all of that. And then I also anchor our show every night with Keith. So we have a lot of fun together. But it's been cool to like do a lot of the jobs along the way since, like I said, 2020. What was your other question?
Favorite the stars things? Really aligned for you. Yeah.
They really did.
I love hearing that. Really and yeah, favorite moments, favorite things that you've covered since you've been here.
Yeah.
2020, that's a long time.
Any road trip. I love a road trip. And people who have, like, y'all have gone on road trips for work, and they're hard. They're long days. A lot of times we're getting up heavy hours, which I'm not a morning person like
you. But then you work until 11 p.m. or
right. Because you're in all the shows. You do stuff for the sunrise, for daytime, for evenings.
And then we do a half-hour show of BBN Tonight.
That's a lot.
Which, you know, a half hour is a lot of
time.
It's a lot of talking. It's a lot of ad-lib time of, like, what have I not said? I've been on TV 9 times before 7:30. What have I not said already? So sometimes I try to like hold some stuff back for our show because I get to 7:30 and I'm like, I've given every nugget, every fun fact, every stat I had in my brain, I've like spilled already. So they are long days, but I love them, especially a couple that come to mind are like NCAA tournaments have been really fun. Covering Mark Pope's first year was a blast. The bowl game trips have been awesome. We went to Orlando 1 year. That was a really fun trip. And the Mark Pope press conference was unreal.
That was cool.
20,000 people in Rupp Arena. I mean, this was crazy. So I actually was engaged when this was happening. This is the behind-the-scenes story for you. I was engaged. My husband was moving into our now apartment. I wasn't moving until we got married, but I was moving some of my furniture in that weekend. So Friday, I spend the whole day, like, moving my couch and my bed and, like, all this, like, big furniture just so I don't have to move it multiple times. Saturday, I go to Louisville for my bridal shower. I'm out of town with my my entire extended family comes. My cousin was engaged too. We do this big family reunion. Sunday morning, I wake up. I drive straight to Lexington. I come straight to LAX 18, and we drive to Rupp Arena. And I'm kind of just like reeling from like, I've moved. I've done my bridal shower. I've seen my like family I haven't seen in a year. Like, I'm just like, now I'm going to cover a press conference. Like, what is the big deal? And I knew it would be a big deal because I know BBN and I know Kentucky basketball and I get it. But to roll up and see people down High Street, all the way down through downtown, I was like, I need to get right. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I've had the craziest weekend with like my own personal stuff, which is like part of TV that I don't think people realize is like how much can, not to bring back to Taylor Swift, but like I can do it with a broken heart. This was not a broken heart situation, but sometimes you do have to be like, okay, I have all this stuff going on in my personal life. And now I need to sit here and be very serious, very professional, and just, like, cover this. And, like, my personal stuff can't invade this space at all. And so I'd had a great weekend, but I was so busy and so overwhelmed with other stuff. And then all of a sudden I realized what a big moment this is going to be. And it's like, all right, let's go do this. And we did, like, hours of live TV. We interviewed all these players. We met Mark Pope. And it was a fantastic day with BBN. I will remember for the rest of my career.
That was a touching press
conference.
It was the most emotional press conference, I think.
Definitely. My parents were in town, and we were going to Keeneland that day. And at the last minute, we were like, should we go to Rupp for this thing? And my daddy's a big sports guy. He was like, yeah, let's go. Just check
Why
it out.
Not?
We were in that line on High Street, and we're like, what is going on? It's a Sunday. It was in April.
Yes.
I had goosebumps, though, getting in there. It was so cool to meet meet Mark Pope and his whole family and all these old players. That was a highlight for me. And I wasn't even, you know, on the court covering it. I can't imagine what that was like for you guys.
It was crazy. And then to walk around, we took our LAX 18 True Blue buttons with us and we'd walk around the court, like in between, like while we were waiting for stuff to start. And people would get so excited and they'd be like, what do you guys think about this? What do you think about Pope? What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to do this? Do you think he's going to win? Can I have a button? You know, like people were so excited and like, it's very rare that you're around people that are truly just that excited. I mean, a game, it was very similar, I like to say, to a game day atmosphere, just because of the energy, the number of people. But there were no nerves. I mean, the best atmosphere last season was the Arkansas game when John Calipari made his return. I mean, I can't remember the last time I felt Rupp Arena like that because it was so high energy, but it was also very high strung. People were very nervous. Like, this is a game that matters a lot. You talk about a press conference. Nobody's nervous. Everybody's just there to have fun. Like you said, it's a Sunday afternoon. I mean, people brought their whole families. I saw little kids, old people, like the guy in the full Pope costume. I saw, like, someone kept holding his baby up, like the Lion King.
And everyone they kept, had T-shirts made already.
Like, the custom T-shirts? Like, how did we find the time? I'm like, I've been at a bridal shower. I didn't know we were making T-shirts. But it was just, I mean, the mascots were there, the band was amazing, like everyone, the cheerleaders, the dance team, like it was a full out pep rally and a press conference, which was so fun.
So cool. And you've obviously gotten to sit down with Mark Pope, but I'm curious of all the coaches and players, all the amazing people you've interviewed, does anyone stick out in your mind as being a really fun or interesting interview?
Oh, yes. I have to give a shout out to the Rifle head coach, Harry Mullins.
Okay.
Harry Mullins has been at Kentucky, oh, I don't want to get this wrong, but I would say between 25 and 30 years.
Okay.
Long tenured coach, 4 national championship titles.
Wow.
Winning his coach, tied with Adolph Rupp.
Wow. People probably don't realize that.
People
either,
don't realize
do they?
That, no. And they last won their title, I think it was 2020 or 2021, so it was still around when there were COVID restrictions. So we got to do a little bit with the team. Last year, they got second by 1 point. So the comeback season for Kentucky Rifle.
See,
this is what I love about BBN Tonight. Where else do I get to, like, cover a Rifle team and get to tell you guys about their amazing head coach, who's one of the best the sport has ever seen, has all these titles, all these accolades, barely lost. They were also supposed to get to host the year of COVID where it got canceled.
They were
the number one team in the country. They didn't get to compete. So they've been so close so many times, and he is just so fun to interview. Like, I love him. The only bad thing is they practice from, like, 5 to 7 in the morning. So if we want to interview
him, just a little early. That's sunrise
hours.
Again,
these are heavy hours. Yeah. And I do sports hours. I do Megan hours. I'm like, I do evenings. We cover night games. Like, the mornings are tough, but I will brave it for a Rifle practice.
You can send me. I'll go.
I actually think you would love it.
I'll go to Rifle
practice. That could be fun. Okay, I did a story a couple years ago. They put you in the full outfit.
Wow.
They teach you how to lay on the ground and do the Rifle.
This is the collab that we need.
You need to
I need to see this.
That would be fun. Maybe we can all
Coach Mullins is so nice. He'll give you coffee. He'll give you breakfast. He's just so excited if people want to cover his team.
How many athletes are on that team?
Ooh, maybe like 10, 12.
Okay, so it's not a very large
team. Super close knit. Several Olympians because like they are just the best of the best here at Kentucky. They know this is the place to be.
Probably for you as someone who grew up a UK fan, you know, grew up in Lexington, went to UK. Is this sort of a dream job for you that not
surreal.
Many people get to experience?
Absolutely. It's surreal. And I think about it. I mean, I think about it all the time, but I think about it especially when we're doing insane things like covering that Pope press conference. Mm-hmm. Because if I wasn't doing this job, I would still have wanted to be there. And I think about it when we travel to the NCAA tournament and like all the memories I have of growing up watching those tournaments. And I mean, there are regular season games that stick in your mind forever, but there is something special about March Madness. And that is just something that I just cheered for forever. Like, I'm going to give myself goosebumps. I'm like, I just can't believe they let me do this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. Like, I didn't always feel like, oh man, am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to ask this question at this press conference? And I don't have any of that now, but I do still have like a pinch me. Is this what I really get to do? And I'm very lucky.
We feel that way at the Derby, too, I think,
probably all of us as well.
Definitely.
That's another thing, because Derby is huge in my house. Mm-hmm. My dad's from Louisville. Talked about him being a U of L fan. But he'd gone to every Derby since he was, like, in high school. Like, he is all into it, loves it. We grew up, my parents would go to it, my grandparents would babysit. We'd try on all my mom's big hats. Like, that was a day I grew up, like, watching, getting excited about, even as a little kid. I only drink out of Derby glasses at my house. Like, those are the glasses.
That's very chic.
It's very chic.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very vintage.
How many years? Do you have years going all the way back?
Oh, yeah. When I moved into my first apartment after college, I didn't have any glasses because I'd lived in my sorority house. So I didn't have any belongings. And I was kind of like budgeting, like, how much is a couch going to cost? How much is a TV going to cost? I had nothing. I'd lived in a dorm and a sorority house. Mm-hmm. I owned nothing. And so my parents were like, well, come over, go through our stuff, see what you can, like, just steal from us before you go out and buy all this new stuff. And they had boxes and boxes and boxes of Derby glasses in their garage because they've been, you know, you get them at the Derby, and then you can also, like, just buy them at Kroger or whatever, like, around that week. And I think they had back to, like, the, I mean, 70s.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I have a lot of Derby glasses. So if we ever need to throw a party, we're all busy on actual Derby Day.
Yeah.
But if we ever need a party, like, a Derby-themed party, maybe in, like,
leading
a different
up
month.
Or after.
Yeah, yes. Like a June Derby party.
Mm-hmm.
That could
a
be
Christmas
fun.
Party.
Love
use
that.
Let's do that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Oh, I love it.
I could talk to Maggie all day.
I know. You really were the best first guest. I feel like I learned something. Mm-hmm. I feel like I got pumped up for football season.
Yes.
So interesting just hearing your backstory and how you've landed here.
Did I let you guys talk enough?
Oh, I talk too much.
We talk too much. We talk way too much.
I don't need to talk any more than I already do.
This was probably a really nice break for the newsroom. I'm sure everybody else got a lot of work done.
It's probably so quiet
during this
right
podcast.
Now.
They've sequestered us off in this separate podcast studio.
Maybe this was all a part of their plan. They're like, let's give Evie and Megan a podcast and we can get them out of the way for an hour every Wednesday.
Give them a hot mic somewhere else.
A hot mic.
And I do love your hot take, by the way, about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Well,
I think
listen,
a lot of people out there agree, probably.
I appreciate it. If not, you can tell me. I don't care. I can take it. You can send me a post on Instagram or
have you
or
ever gotten... I know that there can be some contentious topics with sports. Do you ever argue with people, you know, your family, your friends, about sports?
Oh, like in person? Yeah.
Not on the job.
On
I know
internet,
you can't argue on the job.
On the internet, I won't argue with people.
You don't want to.
Because it's not worth it.
No.
And I don't think that it benefits anybody. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
You got to be professional.
Listen, you know a lot about Tennessee fans. I'm not responding to anything.
Do they come for you?
They hate me.
Yikes.
They do, but I don't respond to them, except for your husband.
Oh, has he tweeted at you?
No, but if
I was like, I'm going to have to talk to him about
but
that.
But if he did, I would respond to him.
Okay.
But I'm like, but that's the kind of stuff, no. But I will, I wouldn't say argue, but I like to discuss.
Yeah,
I like
sure.
to talk.
A
I
lively
like to,
debate.
Yeah, or sometimes people think they know more than they really know. Mm-hmm. And I like to be like, hey, you actually don't know about this guy or this or
let
this.
Let me pull up my statistics.
I'm like, actually, let me tell you something. And then sometimes though, when it's my husband, I'm like, I don't mean to correct you, but it's actually this. And he'd be like, oh, I knew that. Like, we were trying to plan out our fall schedule the other day, and he was like, well, this weekend is the Texas Tech or is the Tennessee Tech game. And I was like, that's the Auburn game.
You're actually wrong.
I'm like, you don't have the schedule memorized?
Huh.
Babe, it's September. Come on. Get these dates in your head. But he got into it, too, so it's very good. Sometimes I will say, though, I have to go home and, like, not watch or talk about sports. Like, I will watch a trashy reality show or a game show or, like, a sitcom. Like, there are times of the year where I'm all in on all sports, but there are other times I'm like, I have watched 9 hours of sports in my office, watching tape, getting stuff ready, studying, cutting highlights for shows. I don't want to go home and watch the third quarter of an NBA game.
Sure. You kind of have to, like, put your brain on the shelf for a couple hours.
Yes.
And
yes.
You've got to decompress sometimes.
Yeah. Unless you guys are on, then I'll watch the news.
Oh, hey. That's very kind.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Mornings and evenings.
I know. My dog loves you guys.
Oh.
She does. She sits there and she's so happy when you come on.
That's the highest praise.
It is.
Meteorologist, she loves a weather segment.
Oh, yes.
All the graphics.
Yeah. Remind us of her name and what kind of dog she is.
Her name is Lucy. She's crazy. She's like 7 months old, so she's still in the puppy stage, but she's really sweet. She's a Ligoto. I had never heard of that kind of dog before. Very similar to like a poodle, like color, shape-wise, et cetera. Okay. She'll be like 30 pounds.
She's very cute.
She's great.
From your Instagram post.
Thank you.
Love
she's
her.
She's no cannoli, but...
We should have them meet, actually.
They would be friends.
Yeah, I think they would be friends, yeah.
Can I bring Chevy?
I was gonna say, Chevy should come.
He's a cat, but he's kind of, he has like dog energy.
He's dog-sized almost.
He is dog-sized.
And I say that with love.
Thank you. He's 18 pounds.
Yes.
The vet says he's obese, but that's a topic for another podcast at another time.
Another hot take we can get into later. He's like Facebook famous in your neighborhood, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he has his own podcast, probably.
We should have him on one day. We'll just have all the dogs on. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for coming on the show and being our inaugural podcast guest on Hot Mic. It's been so fun.
It has been so fun. Any final thoughts? Any last hot takes?
No more hot takes. Just another big congratulations to you two. This is so exciting. I can't wait to listen every single week. I'm going to be locked in.
Thank you.
Tuned in to the Hot Mic. And I'm just so excited to see what you guys do and listen to all the other guests in your future. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. And can we plug BBN tonight, too?
Oh,
how
yes.
do people watch BBN tonight?
Yes. So if you are here in Central Kentucky, you can watch us weeknights at 7:30 on LAX 18, your official station for UK Athletics. But we are also syndicated in a couple other markets, so you can always check. Like, we're on in Louisville and a couple other markets as well. We also have BBN Game Day, which is on Saturday, so check your times for that. And you can always watch us online on the LEX 18 app, on your Roku, on YouTube. Right. What else? And on bbntonight.com.
Catch them everywhere.
It's too easy to watch. Yeah. You got to watch.
I know. We make it so easy.
No excuses.
Okay. We love it.
All right. Thank you, Maggie. Have a great football season.
Thank you, guys.
You guys will be awesome.
Maybe I'll come back for basketball season.
That would be fun.
Yes.
We'll need that.
Every time there's a new season, we got to have you back on.